Pete Carroll talking to the press right now. We'll take you there.
You know, in that we're coming home this week and staying here, and a little bit different end of the week for us. So we need to take this new team through that process, and hopefully it'll lead us to a really good focused performance. We need to do a really good job in a lot of areas to play this football game well. And it's been a good week, so excited about it. Looking forward to it.
Joe Fan.
Pete, do you anticipate Phillip will be able to go?
We got him questionable right now. Gotta wait and see.
Have you made a decision on Alton Robinson? Is he good chance that he'll be up with Rasheem Green likely out? And then what about DJ Dallas as well?
Those are all in consideration, yeah. We don't have them nailed yet. We don't need to. So you got to wait till game time.
Greg Bell.
Pete, what kind of accomplishment is it to have no positive tests this week after the trip?
Yeah, it's a really big deal. It's a really big deal in that this is kind of like stage two of the process of figuring it out. You know, we figured out camp. Our guys did a marvelous job. All the people that contributed to the process and the procedure to get that done at camp was fantastic. Then we went on the road for the first time. There's a ton of stuff that you got to go through to orchestrate that thing, and we orchestrated it where we made it all the way till here we are on Friday with all negative tests again. So that's a major accomplishment. And then this weekend here with our first chance of being at home and being here in town, that still adds to some new transactions and with where we're going, where we're coming and going and all that. And that might be transitions instead of transactions. And we've got to make it through that too. And then we won't know till the end of next week if we're able to handle that. So if we can make it through these three stages, we're going to be, first off, be really proud of that, that everybody in the organization figured it out and the players complied and the coaches complied in fashion. And that will let us know that we know how to do this. And so then it'll just be getting down to the discipline and the care we take to it all the way through the process and see how long we can keep going.
Are you surprised?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. We didn't know what to expect, you know. we had couple indications, you know, baseball happened early, you know, they had some issues. I mean, we haven't made it through here. Everybody's got to get through the first couple of weeks on the road and at home to figure out their process and how it works and fits and all that. But I think I'm surprised in general that there's so few positive tests happening around the league with all the people that are testing. It does show you, though, that the focus of testing every day, it has really, you know, brought our attention to the details that it takes to pull this off. And I think that's a big part of it.
Tim Booth.
Pete, what is the exact injury with Rasheem? I know it was initially a shoulder, and now it's listed as a neck injury.
Yeah, he got a stinger is what happened, and okay. So it's related to shoulder and neck.
Okay, and then I know you talked earlier in the week about Cam and sort of his New England using him as a runner. How similar from what you saw last week was it to how Carolina used him as a runner when he was?
Yeah, it was very similar. Yeah, that's really the a takeoff from that attack, of course, their own version of it, but very similar. And he is such an extraordinary athlete that he can run inside and outside. And he's not necessarily the scrambler that running all over the place. They're calling runs for him and giving him reads and options to take the football and keep it. So it's very similar.
Bob?
LJ Collier, what did you see out of him last week, and just did it sort of confirm, I guess, what you talked to pretty enthusiastically about him during camp, but then obviously
he had a few good rushes where he affected the quarterback. He got picked off on a run one time, something he didn't see for the first time. So he's got a lot of room to grow, but his activity was really there, his quickness was there, and the conditioning. He played all game long and did a nice job. So I think it's a really good first step. I think this is like his first step. You know, what happened last year, you know, I don't think that was representative of what he's capable of doing. And now we're on course with that, and we're looking forward to him to be really active.
John Boyle.
Yeah, Pete, you talked on Wednesday about with a Belichick team, you don't really know what to expect. They can change it up. Just not a lot of teams in the NFL will change as much week to week as he might. And what allows them to do that?
Well, it's his background. You know, he's got great background. He knows he's fitting game plans to match the opponent and match with his own team in a manner of, you know, putting him in a position to win the games. And more so than anybody that we'll face. He's apt to, you know, to focus on different aspects of their defense from one week to the next, and stuff in their offensive approach. You know, he'll tell you a lot about what he thinks about you by the game plan that will unfold. You know, and we won't know until it's over. But he's got his way, and they have a marvelous spectrum of stuff that they can coach that most teams don't have. You know, he's got a great staff, and those guys have been together for such a long time that they can really utilize a lot of the stuff that they've done in the years past.
Michael, Sean.
Pete, with rotating Quentin and Trey, rotating Jordan and Ayupati, even KJ and Jordan and Brooks, is that something you could see be sustainable over the course of the year? Or do you need to have a starter at spots like that?
No, I think we're okay, you know, with... I think it only helps to have more guys available. Can we sustain it? Sure, if everybody stays healthy, then I don't know why we wouldn't, unless it just starts to show differently. And in the competitive opportunities, guys show that they deserve to play more, then they're going to play more. And if we can roll guys through, it just makes us that much stronger by taking the burden off of a guy. So we'll see how it goes. You know, it's just first week, you know, we'll learn a lot in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
You anticipate doing those type of rotations with any other spot?
There is a couple things that we can do, it's good for us across the board if we could. It'll help our football team over the long haul. You know, somebody said it's not a sprint. You know, it's a long distance race we're running here. So I don't know what that means. There's no significance to that at all. I don't even think it fits the situation.
Curtis.
Hey, Pete, are there any areas you think are going to take sizable leaps from week one to week two as you kind of get into the season here? Like, for instance, say if tackling was a little iffy week one, if it would lead to week two. Are there areas like that where you could see things kind of across the league even progress as we get into the season?
You're talking league-wide kind of? Yeah, there wasn't a lot of penalties called in the first week. You know, and I don't know how that will affect what comes up in the next couple weeks. But there was... you know, it was kind of obvious. Teams really practiced really well, and they were connected to their doing right. And there wasn't a lot of penalties. And so, you know, that could affect the outcomes of games drastically if that changes. And we'll see. But I think it's just natural to believe that open field tackling is going to get better. You know, as the guys get more opportunities and they get coached up and critiqued, you know, they should improve. Offenses might be, you know, slipping some yardage in there, you know, and that might get a little bit tougher to get, you know, here in the next few weeks.
Ben?
Hey, Pete, how are the guys on the reserve list doing in Colby Parkinson, Rashad, and Darrell Taylor? How have they progressed in the background?
They're getting a lot of work. It's a really frustrating time for those guys. You know, you know, for Colby and Darrell, I mean, they just want to get out there, you know, and they've never had a chance to play NFL football, and it's really hard on them. Rashad's doing a really good job. He's really trim and looking good. I would think that he's ahead of schedule for maybe what they could have predicted, maybe middle of the season or something like that. I think he's going to push sooner than that. So it's great to have him. You know, and he's had a great off season under these circumstances, and he looks really good right now. So hopefully we can. They expect him to be available, you know, not in the next couple of weeks, but not too far off.
And with Darrell Taylor specifically, is he on track? I know you in training camp, you said he got kind of behind a bit with, you know, getting into running and stuff. But do you expect him to be, you know, available when he's eligible?
I don't know that. I don't know. It's been a tough return. You know, I'm not sure when that, when that time's going to come. I mean, he's got, you know, weeks before that, but he's working really hard at it. He cares so much. He wants to get it done. So we'll just have to stick with him. You know, he was running on the ground for pretty hard this week, and so we'll see how he handles all of that. I can't tell you though.
Art,
Pete, Lamar Jackson last year gave you and many teams a real hard time with his running. Can you describe the how alike and how different he is, his style from Cam Newton?
Yeah, it seems like Lamar is looking more to run, you know, from plays that break down. They've got designed plays for him, but he seems he really can tear you up. You know, when he drops back to pass and doesn't see what he wants and then takes off scrambling, he's had a lot of yards that way. Cam is more, you know, he's a big guy in the pocket. He's looking to throw the football and can stand in there tough and isn't as likely to take off in those situations. They both have design runs that are organized. It seemed like Cam had more in his first game. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't have a number to compare to, but Lamar had such an explosive season in so many big plays, you know, that a lot of that was on true scrambles, you know, more so than just the designed runs.
Masvita, last question.
Fair enough. Hey, Pete, how would you rate Cam's downfield accuracy? Because we talk about his running and all that, but just his ability to get the ball downfield.
You know, it's interesting you ask that. When he was coming out, Carl Smith was here and did a tremendously in-depth study of his downfield throwing. And we were real curious about that. And he was really spectacularly accurate coming out. And he's always been a guy that just can bomb you. You know, he's got such a great arm and can throw it from different positions and doesn't have to be all just right, you know, structured right to throw the ball way down the field. So he's a big threat. In this first game, they didn't do a lot, but that's not how we're thinking he can use the whole field and we'll be prepared for that.
Joe?
Sorry, Pete, one follow-up on Taylor. You guys had him in the building before everything shut down. Clearly felt good about the medical. Did he have a setback at some point, whether it was before the draft, after the draft, or is this just continuing along the path he's been and it's just taking longer than expected?
You know, Joe, we thought we had what we needed to know at the time, and he was working out, and we'd seen some film of him and stuff, you know, we're in his workouts, before draft time, it seemed. And, I think we felt like he had a chance to be back sooner than what this is now. You know, we weren't sure that he was going to, you know, get pupped and all that kind of stuff and put on an IR. We didn't know that. So, we held out hope that maybe it wouldn't. So it is it's longer than we had anticipated, and we're just going to have to wait it out and get him when we can get him. I guess that's pretty obvious when you say that, right? We can't get him before we can get him. So I don't know if this was my best performance for you guys today, but it might be because I'm so excited to be playing at home. You know, that might be it. But what I'm really excited about is how are the fans going to celebrate if and when we score a couple touchdowns and get going in this game, make a couple big plays on defense. I want to know how they're going to celebrate. So I'm hoping that they're going to send us all kinds of information, the creative ways that they were having fun watching their Seahawks this weekend. So I might be a little distracted by that, Art, if you were wondering, you know, them kind of caught up in the activity of the fans, the 12s and all that.
Can you recommend against fireworks?
No, we don't want to do fireworks. Not this. No, we don't need any fireworks. Please don't do fireworks. Unless it's pouring rain. All right, see you.
Thank you.
There are two people with more of a train of thought type speaking style than anyone I know. It's Jim Moore and Pete Carroll. More than anyone. So listen up. We're going to get to NFL picks. I encourage someone, if you want to call in and play against Jake and I, you can and should. Here's the number, 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. First person to call. Some good and bad news to take away from that presser right before we jump into this. It sounds like the good news, I'll start with that, is that running back Rashad Penny, currently on the PUP list, sounds like he is maybe ahead of schedule in his recovery. Although it's not great news about Daryl Taylor. Taylor is on the NFI list, meaning he isn't able to start before week six anyways. But he could potentially be, you know, kind of trailing in his recovery. Sounds like Seahawks were a little more optimistic that they'd have him. Let's see here. Oh, one more thing. Sorry, you guys. Pete Carroll did clarify that it is a stinger for defensive end Rasheem Green. So I would then expect him. I don't know, Jake. I think it's safe to say he might not play. He is officially doubtful, though.
Yeah. It does look like he's trending downward in this game. So you're going to be looking for Alton Robinson to be stepping up in Rasheem Green's place. And to be honest with you, Stacey, I'm actually really excited to see what Alton Robinson looks like, because with Alton Robinson, he was the one guy that across that defensive line, even as a rookie, was really making a bunch of flash plays in the running game and also with his pass rush. So I'm certainly curious to see what he's going to look like if he indeed ends up playing, which it looks like that's going to be the case. But you also hear Pete Carroll talking about LJ Collier and his excitement for him, and you know that he had a couple nice pass rushes, but he also mentioned the fact that there was one play that he got surprised by a blocking scheme that he had not seen before. So LJ Collier, still in my mind, I mean, basically a rookie. When you talk about him and the lack of playing that he had last year, still learning on the job, Stacey.
All right. Playing NFL picks with us today is Christian from Seattle. Christian, how are you?
Fantastic. How you guys doing this Friday?
We're good. We're good. Do you know how this game works?
I do, but I would love a refreshment.
Okay, so we are going to place you on a very brief hold. Do not hang up. Jake and I are going to go through. We're going to pick our potential winner for five upcoming NFL matchups this weekend, including the Patriots at Seahawks and Sunday Night Football, and then we're going to bring you back. You're going to make your picks, and we are going to see who wins. You ready?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, so we're going to pick Christian on hold. First game here, Falcons at Cowboys. Now, as a just note, Jake, Amari Cooper is good to go. He landed on the practice report with a foot injury. Falcons starting left tackle Jake Matthews is questionable, and their corner Kendall Sheffield again out.
Okay. So you're going with the Cowboys.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the Cowboys as well. I think that the Atlanta Falcons are in trouble when you talk about them going up against the Cowboys. This matchup in particular, the Cowboys have great weapons on the outside. They've got Ezekiel Elliott. I think their offensive firepower is just a little too much for the Falcons, and it's a tough start for the Falcons yet again. Yep. Going 0-2.
Yep, I agree. Okay, so we are taking Dallas there. Lions at Packers.
Oh, you know, I went against the Packers last week, and I lived to regret it in a big, big way. The Packers came out firing. They really shut down the Minnesota Vikings, and Aaron Rodgers, you know, came out slinging it. So I think that the Packers are definitely going to be my call here, especially after the Detroit Lions, you know, really came up short. No Kenny Golladay,
yep,
who's a big weapon for them, for Matt Stafford. So I'm picking the Green Bay Packers here.
Yeah, Golladay out with a hamstring. I'm going Packers also. Rams at Eagles. This is interesting.
Okay, Rams and Eagles. Now, the Eagles still have major offensive line issues, and so I am going to go with the Los Angeles Rams here for this game. I think the Rams go 2-0, pretty favorable schedule, being able to play Philadelphia, who, again, poor Philadelphia, they just cannot get away from the injury bug, Stacey.
I know. But you know what? I'm gonna add in a little bit of spice here. I'm gonna go Philly on this one. So we're gonna have to make DJ choose a tiebreaker. I think that the Rams defense is solid. It's the strength of their team, but sometimes it's up and down. And I think that the Eagles could get lucky with this one. I'm going Philly. DJ, you got to be our tiebreaker.
I'm picking between Philly
and the Rams.
And the Rams.
You know what to do.
You know what DJ. To do, DJ.
Oh, do I?
Yes.
That's. I don't really know what to do whenever, but
come on, DJ.
I gotta pick the Rams.
Okay, I'm picking the Rams. Fine. Okay, so we have Dallas, Green Bay, Los Angeles Rams. Next up, we have Ravens at Texans. Ooh, I'm gonna really like this game. I am going to start with this one. I love the Ravens. They're a fun team to watch, but I think the Texans get it together this time around. I really like Deshaun Watson. Logic tells me the Ravens win, but I think that the Texans can have a better go of it this time around. I'm counting on Deshaun Watson turning things around there.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. I'm being
okay.
Maybe
Deshaun Watson does bounce back and have a better week, but I don't think this is it. I think the Baltimore Ravens, they're too strong of a team. They are firing on all cylinders here offensively and defensively. So I think the Texans are going to have a rough couple weeks. They will rebound at some point, but I don't think it's this week, Stacey. I think Baltimore rolls.
Okay. DJ, you know what you got to do. You got to choose the Texans.
I'm picking the Ravens. They're so much better than the Texans.
We are in it to win it. We're not letting Christian win this
thing. All right. Well, I don't think we'll need you for this one, DJ. We've got the Patriots at the Seahawks for Sunday Night Football. Week 2, Seahawks' first home game and first primetime game of the season. Their primetime record, they have the better offense, and the defense looked really promising in Week 1. I'm going Seahawks.
Okay, I am going to match you. I think that the Seahawks are the better team here. And, you know, Bill Belichick is always, always going to be a tough go. He's such a great coach and always finds, you know, little weaknesses that each team has and knows how to exploit them. But I do think the Seahawks are the better team. And so I'm interested to see what style of game that it's going to be. But I think this is going to be a really physical matchup. So, Stacey.
Yes.
Just in case we tie here with Christian and our on the same page with our picks.
Okay.
I'm relying on you to get us right with our point prediction.
Well, you're not going to like it, but here's my point prediction. I'm going 21-20, Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah.
21-20.
Okay, let's bring Christian back. All right, Christian, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. We're going to go through the lineup here. Christian, Falcons at Cowboys. Who do you got?
Unfortunately, I have to take the Cowboys here. Okay. They got too much talent for them to fold 2 weeks in a row.
That's exactly how I feel, Christian. We're so on the same page here. Lions at Packers.
Ooh, upset alert, everybody. Upset alert. Can you guys hear that? Upset alert. I got Detroit.
Oh, there we go.
In a barn burner.
There we go. In a barn burner. I like that. You're already differing from us. Jake and I took Green Bay. Unanimous here. Okay. Rams at Eagles.
Ooh. Between two teams that I don't like very much, let's go with the further. I'm going to take the Eagles.
Okay. It's looking good here. All right. Ravens at Texans.
You know, I really love the Ravens, and they're really talented defensively and then offensively as well, pretty scary. But I got to lean toward the Texans. I got a breakout game from not only the Texans, but from Will Fuller specifically this week.
All right. So there we go. And then Patriots at Seahawks. Christian, don't let us down.
I will never choose the evil empire. We got to go hot.
Do you want to do a score prediction for fun? We don't need a tiebreaker, but you might as well.
Yeah, we don't need a tiebreaker because I'm going to blow you guys out.
Wow.
Okay. Take it easy, Christian. Take it easy. Those are fighting words, my friend.
I'm just kidding. A score prediction, I've got Seahawks. Let's go 35 because we're still letting Russ cook.
Okay.
Patriots.
14. Woo! All right. Christian, thank you so much for playing with us today. Don't go anywhere. DJ's going to take your information. Let's get to What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Tom, Jake, and Stacey. Brought to you by Dietz and Watson. So, folks, what's on tap?
It's Mariners versus Padres. It's a Mariners home game in San Diego because of that smoke in Seattle. It's at 6:40 p.m. Yusei Kikuchi versus Chris Paddock. Coming up next, we're learning about this week's Seahawks opponent with a game show. Pats. It's next on Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
You know, Stacey, don't know if I've ever been this excited about rain before.
Really?
We were, you know, doing our thing in our segment there, going through everything, and I go outside real quick from my little studio into the house, and And it's raining pretty good right now. I mean, with everything going on with the smoke and all that, this rain is
good.
A beautiful, beautiful thing, Stacey.
Love to see that. Love to see that. You know what else is a beautiful thing, Jake? How do you like this transition? Our weekly game show, Pats. That's right. Now, today you will be playing DJ, unfortunately, for DJ.
Okay. hey, DJ.
What's up?
Whatever happens, whatever transpires during this game, just know that, like, we're boys. I love you.
Of course.
Right,
but,
sure.
Of course.
Like, sometimes my competitive juice is, you know,
sure.
Same. So, I'm competitive, too. It's
you know,
all good.
Tom and Curtis are normally really savvy with sports trivia, so I did make it a little bit easier for DJ today. I think it makes it for a fair playing field.
Easier.
That's all I'm saying. So let's go. Let's get started with question number one. Jake, true or false? The Pats led the league in interceptions last year.
False.
Oh, you hate to see that. Unfortunately, they did. They had 25. Second place were the Steelers with 20. DJ, are you ready for your question?
I guess so.
Okay, here we go. DJ, in what state is the city of Boston?
Ooh. You know, geography wasn't always my strong suit.
What? What is this?
Come on, DJ.
Massachusetts?
You did it! DJ, I am so proud of you. All right, Jake, here we go. Jake, true or false? The
Simple
Patriots
geography.
Had the Jake, the Patriots had the fewest net passing yards of any team in week one. True or false?
This is true.
All right.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Now we're on the board.
All right.
Let's go.
DJ, you have a chance to pull ahead here. Are you ready for your question?
Oh, let's do it.
Okay. What is Cam Newton's last name?
Oh, it's tough.
What?
That's tough.
That's okay, DJ.
Huh.
I believe
I'm gonna go with Newton.
Correct! That is correct. Good job, DJ. Okay.
Is there something going on here?
Nothing
that
Jake,
I'm not aware
I'm
of
I'm just
right
making
now?
The game fair, okay? We're just keeping it fair. Jake, are you ready for your question?
Yes.
Okay. Two players besides Tom Brady have started a game at quarterback for the Pats since 2002. So obviously, I've excluded 2001, so Drew Bledsoe is not one of these answers. That's your hint. Cam Newton is one. He started the game last week. Name the other.
Easy. Matt Cassel.
Yay!
Come on.
I got some gimmies in there. Okay. DJ, your question. Name literally...
Okay, this,
no,
if,
just Jake. Jake, wait your turn, please. Okay, it's DJ's turn. DJ, name literally any NFL player.
Huh.
Come on, DJ.
This is absurd.
Michael Brockers.
All right! Interesting choice.
You guys just really are going to load the deck against me today.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jake. DJ doesn't normally play this game. He's got his own set of questions. I'm playing to
this
your guys' skills. It's a grading
okay,
curve.
You know what? Just get to my question.
Okay.
To my question.
Jake, last week, Russell Wilson made himself a fun part of NFL trivia. He tied for third place all-time NFL history in single-game completion percentage with a minimum of 35 attempts. With 30 attempts, so there is fewer attempts, this NFL player made history with the highest ever single game completion percentage of 96.7.
Oh, no, I know this, but I forgot it in this moment. I'm very distracted by the fact that DJ is just getting...
I don't know what you're talking
unbelievably
about.
Easy questions.
Hey, I know nothing about sports, Jake.
Stacking the game against me right now.
I don't know what you mean.
Okay, so the other quarterback who beat Russell Wilson, number one, I'm going to say is Dan Marino?
It is not. No, the answer is Drew Brees. He was 29 of 30 for four touchdowns versus the Colts in December 2016. He made NFL history with a 96.7 completion percentage. I was going to say...
that was my other guess.
That's the thing. I was going to say you could probably guess this and get it right, like if you were thinking of an accurate quarterback, but I thought that would be too much of a hint. So, DJ, are you ready for your question?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you also have a lifeline for this question that you can use. It's called Phone a Stacey.
A lifeline? With these questions,
yeah.
He doesn't need a lifeline?
Jake, wait your turn. DJ, if you want, you can phone a Stacy, in which case I will give you a hint or tell you the complete answer. Are you ready for
Great,
your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 8, DJ.
Yes.
Who is the head coach of the Patriots?
Ooh. Hmm. Can I use my lifeline, please?
You absolutely can, yes. DJ, the answer is Bill Belichick. Good job, DJ! Good job!
This is a quiz my 4-year-old could nail.
All right. Jake, are you ready? Paul Perillo of Patriots.com said that on about 15 to 20 snaps in week one, the Patriots had how many defensive backs on the field? It was a surprising answer.
6.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jake. The answer was 7. Oh, that's too bad. Again, I mean, you win some, you lose some. DJ, are you ready for your question?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, DJ.
Oh, boy.
What color shirt am I wearing?
Oh, hang on. Okay. Let me just... a black shirt.
That's correct! All right. I mean, I guess we have a minute here for a tiebreaker. I mean, DJ is just a solid leader, but we're going to go ahead and do this anyways. Okay, so here's the tiebreaker for this week. We are going to go back and forth counting to 10, and you get a point for every even number. We'll start with Jake. Jake? Okay, we'll just give it to DJ. All right, congratulations, DJ! One, Pats.
Oh, victory is so sweet.
It feels good, doesn't it? You did so good on that quiz, DJ.
You know what the problem is with this is that Stacy, although I know that this quiz was absolutely rigged, it still really bothers me. I'm Joe Burrow in the sense that I don't like to lose. I'm not a fan of it, not acceptable in any sense of the word. So, man, that was a tough one. I'll get you next time, DJ.
DJ, you can do some more studying.
I mean, all right, I'm ready for a rematch.
I believe in you. I mean, Dallas is next week, correct? We can do, like, what state is Dallas in? I mean, there's all kinds of questions. I don't want you to get too prepared, but, you know, you are filling in for Curtis for a while, so we'll have you helping out. I'm proud of both of you guys. You did a great job. We sum it up next.
Yeah, thanks.
It's time to sum it up with Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Shot clock turned up.
The final word on everything that matters today in sports. Brought to you by Zone In CBD.
Step back!
You guys have been so awesome today on the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Lots of really funny feedback, lots of good bold takes, lots of good game predictions, and lots of great questions. Although I have to shout out the 253 right now. Hey, Stacy, was that rigged quiz, sidebar, I have no clue what you're talking about, was that rigged quiz a tribute to the Patriots coming to Seattle? One of my favorite texts of the day.
Unintended, yeah, easily the best text of the day. And maybe unintended ode to the Patriots?
I think so. Like what happened was while I was writing the quiz, DJ came in and taped over the 710 logo on his polo and got his camera and filmed the answers while I was writing them down. And then, went back and studied it up. So again, it's just kind of like a fun way to add some spice to the game was to let DJ cheat.
It was the perfect crime.
Yeah. Exactly. Also, shout out to DJ for, of every player in the NFL you could choose, choosing Michael Brockers.
Trying to think of the most random NFL player. For some reason, that name just stuck in my mind. I don't know why.
It's a weird choice, man. I'm not going to lie. I was not expecting it. Russell Wilson, Tom Brady even. Not Michael Brockers. Let's get back to previewing this game for our Sum It Up, our final segment, Jake. I opened the show by giving my prediction, saying that I thought that the Seahawks defense would outperform, the secondary in particular, would outperform the Patriots' vaunted secondary. I think that we slightly differ on maybe how many touches we expect Chris Carson to get or even want to see him get. But when it comes to just what I'm excited to see, one thing I'm excited to see that I didn't talk about so far in the show is the advancement and growth of the secondary, specifically the corners. I'd like to see some more from Quentin Dunbar and Shaquille Griffin this week, because this time around, you know, we've been talking about how the story is New England's secondary versus Russell Wilson versus Chris Carson. What's it going to look like? But on the flip side, you are playing a far less potent passing offense than you were last week. I would love to see some growth from that group.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's hopefully what we see from this defense. And if you really believe, like Dave Wyman, before the start of the season, said that he believes that this defense could be a top 10 defense. Mm-hmm. Well, here's your chance. Here's your chance to show everybody that you could be a top 10 defense, that there's growth in the secondary, as you mentioned, Stacey, and that this defensive line can hold up against a legitimate running attack that the New England Patriots are going to bring here to CenturyLink Field. So I'm definitely with you, and I hope to see some obvious improvement from this defense, who was opportunistic last week mm-hmm. and made key plays in key moments. But can they be more stout in the run game is really what I'm going to be watching for.
Now let's get to that question as far as it goes for the offensive side of the ball for Seattle first, because I do want to kind of end with your opinion on how they handle Cam Newton. I know you felt strongly about that, but I think that what we can both agree on is, even though I'd like to see more touches for Chris Carson, wouldn't mind at all if they went away from the pass a bit this week, I hope that the trend is that they remain aggressive on a few fourth down situations, should it come to that, and that they decide to pass on a few early downs. Like, it doesn't have to be 35 attempts for Russell Wilson, but I wouldn't mind once again seeing them, you know, pass or so for a mm-hmm. series.
Right. And I think that that's where my concern becomes, Stacey, is going from 1 week being one thing and going to the complete opposite the other in order to convince yourself that you have to win the game. Now, there's going to be nobody. I'm certainly not going to be upset about it if they run for over 200 yards rushing on the ground between Chris Carson, Russell Wilson, Carlos Hyde, and the rest of the crew, and are able to have a good, you know, convincing win out of this game. I don't think anybody would be upset about that. But what I think would be disappointing is if they were so committed to the running game like they had been in the past that they try to keep the game tighter than what it needs to be instead of going out and being the aggressor. And you mentioned that fourth down call here. DJ, I want to go to cut number 5 here. This is DK Metcalf, and I think this is really important, guys. When you as an offensive staff can send a message to your players in the way that you call games and the way that you approach them, and you can build confidence within your playmakers and your team, here's DK Metcalf and saying what his response was, what it told him, the fact that the coaching staff allowed them to go for it on that 4th and 5.
I wouldn't say it was just backyard football. The one thing that really sticks out is, you know, last year we probably would have punted in that situation. But, you know, for Shoddy to have trusted Russ and the offense in that situation for us to go deep and to just to score a touchdown just says a lot about our growth and, you know, that our different mentality that we have this year.
Huh. Different mentality. Growth, something we wouldn't do last year. I think those are all things that when you look at this group, don't be scared of the secondary for the New England Patriots. Do you want to go and favor the run game and really get after in the run game? Great. But don't be scared of letting Russell Wilson, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, arguably one of the greatest players in the NFL, be that playmaker for you, and trusting DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and the rest of the crew to continue to keep making plays. I think that that says a lot in terms of the mentality and the confidence that you have. When you look at all the best offenses around the league, Stacey, for not just this year, but years down the line, it's been about them more than it has been about the opponent. So I would love to continue to see a healthy balance here.
Now, it's not being scared of the secondary, though. Right? Like, devil's advocate. I think someone might say, like, hearing this who is, you know, more kind of like old fashioned football type, they might say, like, well, it's not about being scared of the secondary. It's about playing smart. It's about playing the ball control game and clock management game versus an offense that A, likes to run the ball now with Cam Newton so they can run out the clock, and B, a phenomenal secondary that can take the ball away from you. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you have in Russell Wilson, but would it not be smart to lean kind of away from that?
Well, I do think that it would be smart. Look, you don't want to go out there and throw it, you know, 40 times in this game. I don't think that that's, you know, something that you should do. And I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, they need to play in the same fashion that they did last week, but continue to play with great tempo, continue to, you know, mix things up at the line of scrimmage, you know, pre-snap. And I think that those are all things that lead into offense success for this group. And don't be one dimensional, right? Don't be so stubborn in the run game that you have to revert back to run pass sequences again. When they're not successful. So those are the things that I have concerns for, is just maybe taking a step backwards in this game. But if it's working, right, pound the rock. Absolutely pound the rock. But I just don't want them to feel like they need to go into this game with the Tennessee Titans game plan in the playoffs with Derrick Henry, because you don't have Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. You've got Russell Wilson.
To be fair, though, Derrick Henry and the Titans won that game. So if if it gets you through, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not advocating. I would actually like to see them probably pass it more, you know, than I am implying with this. But as playing devil's advocate, like, it's not a bad thing to lean into their weakness. So
no, I mean, a win's a win, Stacey. No question about that. But I'm just saying that they don't need to go full Titans mode. All right, and still be able to produce a win and still be able to be successful. I believe they actually could separate themselves more if they remained more balanced in this approach as they try to run into and lean into the run game rather than fully leaning into the run game and Russell Wilson only sits there with 18 or 20 attempts.
Let's end with the same question I asked Bumpus, because these questions seem, you know, kind of typical, but I feel like they always tell different stories and it's always fun to get different insight with it. The Seahawks win Sunday if blank. Do you want me to go first or you?
I want you to go first.
Okay. I'm going to go old, just kind of an old-fashioned approach here. The Seahawks win, I think, if they win the turnover battle. I think the thing that you cannot do is give up the ball to this offense. I think they will take their time with drives. I think Cam Newton is very difficult to stop. I think that they will inch up the field and they'll take control of the clock. And I think that this is a defense that is more likely to get the ball. You know, it doesn't have to be an interception. It could be a fumble too. Like, you risk no matter what you do with the ball against this defense, particularly the secondary. So I think the key to a Seahawks win is to win the turnover battle on Sunday.
Okay, I like it. It's as true can be in football. I believe that the key to winning this game is for the Seahawks defense to be able to hold up in this running game. If they can limit the New England Patriots offense, I know I said under 100 yards, and I still stick by my bold prediction, right? But if they can realistically limit this rushing attack under 150 yards, if they can keep them in that 125 range, I think that they've got a great chance to win the game, because, again, I don't believe they have enough dynamic playmakers at the receiver and tight end to really make a difference in this game.
All right. This is a fun one, you guys. It's an exciting – football's back. It's week two. It's Sunday night.
Can't wait.
It's so exciting. Jake, thank you so much for participating in the game against DJ. Your participation trophy is in the mail. Rick DJ, game. Congratulations on your victory today.
Don't be proud of it, DJ.
That'll do it for us today. Bob David Moore is next. This is Tom, Jake, and Stacey. We'll see you Monday.